is out there, and so are ghost waifus tonight on I Want to Believe.
Ghost waifus.
Here on
really?
The Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight, and we got a classic crew here with us. We got Calvin Abear.
What's up?
Ali Abear.
Hi.
And Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi.
Not with us tonight, Tanner Calvert, who unfortunately had to work. Mentioned calling in, so maybe we could get him on the show, but you know, I
logistics.
The technology just isn't there to have people call into a program.
Wait. We don't have the equipment.
Yeah. There's, much like
well, sort and I'm
much like Allie
now.
And the kind of women I prefer, she lacks the equipment.
Wow. Call back to the thing that 8 people listen to.
Yes, on the pre-show, which you can get for $1 a month.
But you got to sell it.
At patreon.com/podzilla1985. Yeah. Yeah. It's a team effort. So tonight, we got a lot to talk about here on the show. It's been a while. We're actually going to do, well, the show was always supposed to be tonight, but they skipped Nerds for Hire, I think, that 2 weeks ago.
Or whatever they've renamed it.
Well, it's the Hype Train now.
The Hype Train.
Whoa, whoa.
That sounds like
a dumb name.
That sounds like
it's our own shows.
Like it's a dumb name.
The Adam Rose from wrestling.
Oh, the hell
whatever
it
was called. Because they've redone it like so
as the
many
Conga
times.
Line, it's the Conga line now.
Pretty
what
much
hell was
since
it called?
The
Adam
excitement
Rose was there.
The Adam Rose and the. It's going to drive me crazy.
Nobody even paid
attention. I don't remember.
What'd you say?
I said the excitement caboose. Like,
basically, it sounds like
that. The Rosebuds.
Yeah, that's what it was. The
Rosebuds. Which is also a nickname for, like, isn't that like a puckered asshole?
What?
Not what I'm talking about. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it sounds like if WWE gave that to, like, Zack Ryder.
Mojo Rawley.
And Mojo, whenever they were tag teaming,
Allie,
it'd
that's
be the Hype Train.
No, that's tomorrow's show. Tonight's show is all about ghosts and goblins and Republicans.
And science, apparently.
And science. Science nerds. Stupid science bitch. You're gonna have to impress me tonight.
I love that reference.
So if you aren't subscribed to the Patreon, you did miss a fun conversation before we get started about profoundly.me.
And traps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two go together very well. Just like women and penises. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's when you've...
That's not what this show is about.
It's when you've already unwrapped your Christmas gift, but then inside the Christmas gift is a smaller Christmas
this
gift.
This isn't the Thursday
that you can unwrap.
Show.
Anyway, so the point is that profoundly.me is something that should be avoided by all people.
Yes.
And it has earned Podzilla 1985's don't click on
just
and
don't
play
do it.
Icon of the week. Despite the fact that I'm pretty sure most of the people on Podzilla 1985, you're using it.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone
isn't at this table.
Yeah, everyone, but the people that are at this table use profoundly.me because they need to hear people tell them how good they are. Well, I don't need people to tell me how good I am because that's not what would happen.
Apparently.
They would tell me how bad I am and they would tell me how unattractive I am.
Will you stop and let me? Okay, thank you. Apparently someone is going through and just sending everyone.
Boxdorfer.
What's it like being the best Podzilla member?
I'm pretty sure it's Boxdorfer because he posted it online, and either he's just playing up on it or he. I'd like to think that Derek honestly and truly didn't realize that I was lying on my Facebook message.
You want to think you got somebody?
And that he actually thought that it would be anonymous. Well, joke's on you. I can see everyone that posted.
So, but I feel like if it was, Dalton's wouldn't have been the same message.
Why?
I feel like Derek would have like asked him.
Why are you the worst member?
Yes. How does it feel to be? Because Derek has and will always love the bit of making fun of Dalton.
It's a good bit.
Yeah.
You want to go with your classics all the time, you know? That's why we're introducing a new show. We're actually canceling Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, and we got a new show called Everyone Hates Dalton, where we just invite different people from Dalton's life onto the show. To tell him face to face what a terrible person he is.
So is the first show going to be Sadie or his mom?
Jeez. Calvin said it, not me. All right. Let's get into the news of the week. You probably saw this yesterday. Pretty sad. April 15th, 2019. Mark it down on your calendar. 850-plus-year-old Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France, engulfed in flames due to what officials believe was an accident during restoration. And I didn't grasp the gravity of it at the time because, you know, I didn't realize how important of a building it was. Stupid me. I really didn't because I'm American. I don't care, you know, what do I care about France?
Okay, but you do claim to be Catholic.
And that's when it hit me.
When you realized what a cathedral was?
There was a disturbance in the Catholic force, and I felt it.
Okay.
Please keep going with this bit.
Have you looked at any of the updates today
stuff? Yeah. I saw that.
The damage inside doesn't look nearly as bad as what it seemed outside. Like, it's still a lot of damage, but...
Well, didn't one of the bell towers fell, didn't it?
No, the spire.
The spire.
Bell towers were saved.
Yeah, because none of the bells fell. If one of those bells had fallen, the whole tower would have come down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty sad, and it's an iconic building, not just for religion, but as Allie and Lindsay explained to me, for art as well. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest landmarks in the world.
It's France's top tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Yep.
That beats the Eiffel Tower. They have 13 million people visit it yearly. It took over 100 years, almost 200 years to build, and they've added on to it since then. So the spire that fell was not originally part of the building.
Right.
So it has like layers and layers and layers of additions and things that have made it the building it is today. And even though they're rebuilding it, it will never be the same.
No, because it's not old. It'll take another 850 years for people to go like, oh, wow, that's an old structure.
Yeah. I view it like it now has an asterisk. Because it was like the only building that survived that many wars.
Yeah.
Because it went through the French Revolution, both World Wars, and it was like the only building that was able to survive all of it.
Yep.
Was scheduled to fall anyway, though, during the tech war of 2020.
On a bright note, though, several French billionaires have already made major donations.
Well, I was about to say, when I checked earlier, the donations to rebuild the cathedral was nearing $1 billion.
Yes.
I don't know if it's past that point at this point, but French President Emmanuel Macron said that it'd be rebuilt within 5 years. Yep. But like Allie said, it's an asterisk.
Yep.
Because it's not the original building.
And I was also reading, I guess, Apple is also throwing in money to help with it.
That's what
The Notre Dame school in Indiana, I think is where Notre Dame is, I want to say. They pledged, I think, like $100,000 or $400,000 to rebuilding it. So, yeah, people are coming together. Like, this isn't just a Catholic thing. It's not just a French thing. It's one of those events that,
like a world history thing.
Yeah, yeah. The world
comes
together for.
This is historical event.
Yeah, it reminds me of like when the towers fell in 9/11. Like, this wasn't an attack, obviously, but it's just that
it's still
that cultural
highly impactful.
Yeah.
Someone that was actually, because I read a report that someone that was actually at 9/11 saw very similar things because of all the smoke and the fire and how the sky looked, and it reminded them of 9/11. But it wasn't a terrorist attack. It wasn't anything like that. Another bright note is
nobody was hurt.
I was gonna say, I didn't see any reports of injuries and
there was
casualties.
Some firefighters did get hurt trying to fight the fire.
They had 400 firefighters.
Yeah. Well, they should have just done what Trump said and used water buckets to flying water tanks. This isn't a time to be political. It's not a time to be political. I'm not going to make fun of it.
The only reason that doesn't work is because of how old the building is, that pressure would have just completely destroyed the building. But most of the rose windows were saved. Only one got destroyed in the fire.
And the crown of thorns was saved.
Good. Yeah, they got...
Which I legit... So I did this thing yesterday. We were watching on the news. And I was like, wait, the crown of thorns? Like, I did not know that that was an actual relic that they possessed. Allegedly, I'm sure. Like, there's no proof that it was the legitimate crown of thorns that Jesus Christ wore, but it was claimed to be, I guess, like kind of the Shroud of Turin, maybe. Where, or did they disprove that completely? I don't know. I'm not up on as much as I'd like to be. So you're probably saying, well, Shannon, why are you talking about this? And of course, it was a big cultural event, but this seems like something you'd maybe talk more about on Thursday. Well, we will talk about it a little bit on Thursday, but one thing that I was curious about, so I looked into it, and of course, you know, I was right. Paris is a very historical city, And they're probably one of the most haunted cities in the world.
The catacombs.
Yeah. I mean, they've got the Paris catacombs, which not only is it an incredible story, it also has a great movie, As Above, So Below.
That was a really good movie.
Highly recommend it. I looked up a couple of ghost stories, and apparently the cathedral itself was quite haunted, which isn't surprising to me. And I grabbed some of the best ones here.
800 years old.
Right. This is from Mysterious Universe, one of my favorite sites to go to nowadays. I got a couple of stories that I thought were interesting. An Urchley. Well, we already started this off well. We're only 10 minutes in. Let's start the show over again. The truth is out there.
Wow.
He took that bit far.
An early Notre Dame. I always want to say Notre Dame, but it's Notre Dame, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Because we're very American.
Cairo, Illinois. Yeah. Tanner.
Yeah. And also, we're like the school, the private school around here. The people who go there call it Notre Dame.
Right.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
But it's Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Yes. Early Notre Dame ghost story from the 12th century involves a locksmith who was hired to make the locks for all of the doors and other lockable things in the cathedral. That was a major job for the most powerful organization in Europe, the Catholic Church, so the poor locksmith was under enormous pressure. Legend is that he asked the devil for help, which is not a good place to ask the devil for help.
Seriously.
A Catholic cathedral, probably. And the demon agreed. The job was completed, but the locksmith died a few days later, and his ghost has often been seen wandering the grounds.
That's creepy.
Then you think, oh, well, that's surely the only blacksmith story. No, there's actually a second blacksmith story. A similar 13th century story involves a young blacksmith named Biscornet. I'm mispronouncing that because I don't know how to say French words. Damn hell.
It's probably Cornet.
Yeah, it's probably Cornet. Biscornet?
Maybe.
Well, you know what? For humor's sake, I'm going to call him Biscornet.
Make it as American as you can.
A young blacksmith named Biscornet, who was hired to decorate the side doors of the cathedral. Another big job. Fearing failure, he was also said to have cut a deal with the devil. These guys are not that bright. That's why they're locksmiths, probably, or blacksmiths, who completed the project in exchange for his soul. When the doors were unveiled, they were stuck shut, and someone came up with the idea of sprinkling them with holy water, which freed the doors and freed the blacksmith from a satanic compact. Those doors have become known as the cursed doors.
Huh.
So.
Did you say this was the 13th century?
Yes.
So this was close to when it was completed.
Well, yeah, if they're making locks and stuff for it.
Yeah, because it wasn't completed until the 1360s, something like that. 1340s, I want to say. My French history is not up to snuff, we'll say.
Well, if it's the 13th century, though, it would be the 1200s. Yeah,
would it?
Yes.
Yes.
So then it wasn't when it
was
done.
We have both had several years of art history. Dates have been crammed into our brains.
It was finished in the 13th century.
Okay, well, it was finished in 1345 because I have it written down.
Well,
so
that would be the 14th century.
Well, and everything I've seen that said it was finished in the 13th century.
There is nothing in the story I just read that told you that it was when it was done.
Okay.
It was just a 13th century story.
Okay.
You assumed that the cathedral was done at that point. And that's on both of you, and that's what you both get for wearing green. Did you call each other last night?
No.
All three of you, actually.
Huh. You missed that message, didn't you?
Like, did I miss St. Patty's Day again?
Again?
I just like green.
A famous Notre Dame story involves a woman who came to visit the cathedral in 1882. Her request to climb one of the towers, a high point both literally and figuratively when visiting, was turned down by the guards because she was unchaperoned. According to the local tale, she found an elderly woman to accompany her. When they reached the top, she revealed the real reason for the climb.
Just to jump off of it, probably.
She threw herself over the railing and was impaled on spikes on the main floor.
Oh, my.
Her ghost has often been witnessed near the tower's gargoyles or wandering around the top of the tower.
That's terrifying.
That'd be a hell of a way to go out, though. And lastly, what I found, a modern addition to the female ghost of Notre Dame is Maria Antoinetta Rivas Mercado Castellanos.
That's too long.
It's fine. She's a Mexican intellectual, writer, feminist, and arts patron who was scorned by a lover in Paris and shot herself at the altar of the cathedral. On the male spirit side, Louis Vierne, a longtime organist there, fulfilled his lifelong wish in 1937 when he died while playing the cathedral organ near the end of his 1700th concert. I don't know what it has to do with
He died while playing?
I mean, I guess. I don't know what that has to do with ghosts. There's nothing that says he haunts it. He just died when he played it. That's fine. Not all stories have good endings. Closure is not a privilege, so stop being entitled. I don't know what I'm saying.
What? Okay,
I'm
Here's names I can pronounce.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Not that hard. Joe Rogan, I just found out
Are
about
you sure
this.
It's not Rogan?
All right. Joe Rogan. Comedian. Actor. And UFC commentator. You can't really you can't really spice that one up. Host of the Joe Rogan Experience posted the following message on his Facebook page about the documentary Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers. I didn't know this documentary existed. And now that I do, I want to check it out. Lindsay, do you know who Bob Lazar is?
I feel like I should know the name, but it's not clicking.
Good, because I describe what he's known for later. So
okay.
I was prepared. Also, his last name is spelled L-A-Z-A-R. So I could call him Bob Lazar if you want me to.
Laser.
Joe Rogan said, very, very interesting. I have a love-hate relationship with UFO stories and conspiracy theories. He had Alex Jones on his show not too long ago talking about interdimensional aliens, by the way. But this was some really compelling shit. To answer the obvious question, though, yeah, I was high. I feel like watching a documentary on UFOs narrated by Mickey Rourke without getting high first would be disrespectful. I bring this up because I find myself really struggling. Let me just push the table there. Really struggling with my own beliefs about UFOs and extraterrestrials lately, because the more I think about it from a rational standpoint, the less I feel that UFOs are in any way extraterrestrial by origin. And I think we've talked about that
there
here on the show.
There are a lot that aren't, yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine how any of them would be extraterrestrial. And my reason for saying that is because at what point do aliens stop just flying around, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they're not, it's not like they're traveling. They're not passing through. This isn't, it's not like when you drive through, you know, Chaffee to get to somewhere that's has human civilization in it.
Shots
you
fired.
Hate Chaffee so much.
Aliens. I feel like they're not just flying around. They have to have a purpose. So, what is the purpose of so many UFO sightings where all they do is just fly?
The Sunday drivers.
Also, some of them abduct.
Someone what?
Abduct and probe and.
I got a story about that later. Story about that later. But to Lindsay's point of the Sunday drive, it would be the equivalent if we said, "Let's go for a Sunday drive
and
we
just go watch a bunch of cows."
No, saying we drove to California to drive around. Why would you travel that far just to drive around for a couple hours?
Because they've seen everything else.
How do you know that it's
okay, they're
that
jet
far
setters. How about that?
How do you know it's that far to them?
I don't know what to say to her anymore. I've got nothing to say. What's that?
How do you know it's that far to them?
Well,
I mean, they got light speed figured out.
They have like just like interdimensional travel and it's like a few seconds.
Okay, but again, why? For so long, why would so many UFOs just travel without any contact? Like legitimate contact. I'm not talking about, you know, the people that say they're abducted. I'm talking about legitimate Mars Attack style. We're landing and we're going to talk to people. There just seems to me that there would be no reason that they would either travel so far or use this technology to come here to do nothing.
Do you know what a safari is?
At least they kill things on safari sometimes.
You can't assume anything because your context to life is
very
different from whatever theirs is, and you can't
tell that to the atheists.
Imagine.
Because they... It's fine.
To figure this out. Easy explanation is that there's stomping.
We have elephants above us.
Yes.
Is that, I mean, observation is like the biggest part of research.
Yes.
So.
But how long has observation been going on? We're talking about UFO sightings that have like took off in the 40s, but you can trace them back to like caveman paintings.
But you also can't.
They're checking up on their
experiments.
You can't
assume that there's that. You can't assume that they don't have technology that can get other forms of data while it looks like they're just in the sky. Maybe them in the sky is a distraction.
Or
I think you're reaching for that one.
You are assuming a lot about something that you really can't assume anything about.
No, but I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to come up with a rational explanation that makes sense of why a race that a species that if they do have the technology for interdimensional travel, if they do have the technology to travel light years in an amount of time that is that is I want to say convenient, but maybe a better term would be plausible, because if it took an alien being, let's say it took them 30 years to get here in their time, and they have a lifespan of, let's say they're like us, they have a lifespan of 90 years, 100 years max. You wouldn't spend 30 years flying to somewhere else to, don't think about it. Don't think about it. You wouldn't spend that much time flying to do nothing, to just collect some data. I don't know. It just, why are you counting down? I don't like it.
No. I'm counting the assumptions that you're making.
That's all we can do, assume.
Right.
Yeah, but
we don't have any hard evidence.
You're assuming that their time works like ours does. Our time is.
But they're in our atmosphere.
Okay. No. Perspective. So, an example, lab mice go around in an experiment. That is their life. They don't know anything else other than the experiment. That's their whole world.
Right.
From time to time, there is these scientists above them that seemingly just look at them. And the scientists drive to the lab every day for an hour. Sorry. To the scientists, right?
Yeah.
To the mouse, how long is that hour?
But that also, I mean,
how long is the lifespan of a mouse compared to a human?
I know this isn't the same thing, but you're talking about beings that interact and watch, as opposed to disc-shaped objects.
How do you know that they're not interacting in some way that we can't tell? The mouse doesn't know how they interact.
I'm here to ask questions. I'm not here to tell you how it is. I'm here to ask how it could be.
In his comparison, we are the mouse.
Yeah,
I know. What, I didn't think we were the humans.
So the mouse just assumes that this thing is coming and looking at them. The mouse doesn't know.
The mouse doesn't even know it's in an experiment.
Yeah.
The mouse also has a much smaller cognizant scale than we have.
Yeah, but in comparison.
You might have a much smaller one to them.
Yeah.
I guess there's nothing to say that aliens would have to interact with us in any in any reasonable way.
Yeah.
It would just be courteous.
Maybe we're just TV to them.
Well, I mean, I don't know who said it earlier, but I think it's interesting to think that what if, you know, we talked about before of, I'm going to tie in a couple different things here. We talked about like God and the creator, and then let's also throw in the movie Prometheus, where, you know, there are engineers that created life. They tried to destroy it, but at the same time, who's to say that, you know, aliens didn't create life on Earth? And they are checking up on their experiment. And if they are, they've got to be really disappointed in us.
Seriously.
It depends on what the experiment's for.
Well, it wasn't on dabbing. Once they saw us. Maybe the aliens are God, is what I'm trying to say. You know?
That's one perspective.
Yeah. You have these beings that are, you know, especially to people of the time.
That are just very, very disappointed parents. And that's why they don't talk to us.
Yeah. You know, people always ask, where's God? Well, maybe God is a legitimate being who created something that he is disappointed in and that he doesn't want anything to do with at this point. Because, you know, look what we did with the gifts we were given. Or maybe they're just sitting outside of it and watching what happens. Kind of like playing The Sims. They created it, and they're just watching what
happens.
They're
just waiting to pick you up and drop you in the pool with ladder.
But then I mean, that's the idea, is that the main idea is that they seeded Earth.
Yeah.
And then they're just letting it play out.
And maybe this is like where
maybe
just,
we're the control.
Maybe we're one of many, many planets in different solar systems.
Well, also, even if we're not the control, how would we be able to tell? Because we only have us to go
that's
on
true.
As a basis.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not real at all. Maybe the UFOs that you see and the lights you see are
glitch in the matrix.
Glitches, digital imprints, something like that. You can't say this kind of stuff to the scientists, though, because they got it all figured out. Good for them. Anyway, back to this. Joe continued to talk about the documentary and the story of Bob Lazar on his show multiple times. Now, Lindsay, this is for you. I have a little note here about context. So Bob Lazar is pretty famously known for pretty much exposing the world to Area 51.
Okay.
In May of 1989, Bob Lazar appeared under the pseudonym Dennis in an interview with investigative reporter George Knapp, who I know from Coast to Coast AM. Well, not personally. I wish
you
I
know
did.
Of.
To discuss his purported employment at S4, a subsidiary facility he claimed exists near United States Air Force Facility Area 51. He said that he was involved in the reverse engineering of one of 9 flying saucers and claims that the propulsion of the studied vehicle was fueled by atomic element 115, muscovium, first synthesized in 2003. Calvin, you keeping up with this? And that this was used to generate gravity waves. He also claims that he was given briefing documents describing the historical involvement with Earth for the past 10,000 years by extraterrestrial beings, gray aliens, from a planet that orbited the twin binary star system Zeta Reticuli.
So that is a mouthful.
Mm-hmm. Zeta Reticuli?
Everything.
Oh.
So when did this come out?
The documentary or?
It said
89.
89?
Yes.
So he was saying that they had an element that produced gravity waves well before we even
almost
proved
20
that
years
there were gravity
before.
Waves.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the weird thing is that, and I have it written down to remind me to talk about it, but this, I've actually known about Bob Lazar for many, many years. He's one of the first people that I studied when I got into the whole. When I found out that the internet could be used for more than just like naked pictures of my favorite celebrities, I started looking into the supernatural and the paranormal and stuff like that and fringe science and that kind of thing. He said he went to school at MIT. Jeez, that's very loud stomping.
Yes, it is.
He said he went to school at MIT. There is no record of him there. Everywhere that he said he's been, there are no records. That's he weird. Says it's a conspiracy against him. The schools themselves say there's no way to scrub someone from the record like that. That's impossible. So it very much seems like Bob Lazar is just a giant hoax. But that's when, you
like
know.
Like John Tudor?
Yeah. Like it's just a false. But, you know, old Shannon, conspiracy theorist Shannon would say that's because they don't want you to know who he is. They're trying to scrub his name off of it. But also, why would they allow a documentary to come out about him? I guess the goal is to discredit as opposed to outright kill.
So if you scrub him when he becomes, because he said he worked at Area 51, right?
Yes, or a subsidiary near Area 51, yeah.
But he worked with the UFOs is my point.
He reverse engineered one, yeah.
Then you would probably put them on a, like, this person doesn't exist list.
Yeah.
Right then.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. By the time this all came out, everybody was like, it doesn't matter. He doesn't exist. Like, he's just some person saying all these things.
Yeah, like a crazy person.
Yeah. So why not let it...
But the bad part is, like, just like with every other thing that I want to believe, there's no evidence. There's no evidence that he did anything that he said he did. He just said he did. And it's an interesting story. And I once in my life, I would like for there to be hard evidence of this kind of stuff. But whatever. The documentary is called Bob Lazar, Area 51 of Flying Saucers. I will be watching it soon. I will let you know how it goes.
I want to watch it.
You got to stop watching MASH long enough.
I'm almost done with it.
It's available on Amazon Prime. Now, I don't know if that means you can watch it if you have Amazon Prime or it's for rent. We'll find out. We'll find out. The next segment on the show, it's one of my favorite segments on the show we do here. We do it every month. It's called Calvin Make Me Care About Boring Science Nerds.
Is this the new title for it?
I haven't read any of this, so surprise me.
This is from National Geographic. I wasn't going to throw this in.
Oh, wait. Are we going to do the black hole stuff first or not?
Yeah, let's talk about the black hole stuff, and then we'll go to this. And hold on for that nerd stuff. It's more nerd stuff. Last week, they had a picture of the very first black hole.
Which looked like a cat's
eye. The disc
eye.
Around the black hole, basically.
So that's big.
It was a big black hole.
Because that's where the monsters will come from when they invade and kill us all. How important is this, Calvin?
Well, I mean, it proves...
That they exist, for one.
Well, yeah, it proves that they exist. It proves that something that big exists.
Yeah.
We've had proofs before, but nothing visual.
Right.
It also is a reassurance that most of space science right now is on the right track because it's what we thought it would look like.
That it's not just like, oh, that's a hard left turn.
Yeah.
It's literally a black hole.
And it's a supermassive one.
Yeah.
And it has a sustaining... accretion disk is what I believe they call it, which is basically
save that for the Thursday show.
Which is what the giant mass of matter and energy that is just trapped, can't escape, and is slowly being pulled in.
Right.
There's a much smaller black hole in our galaxy that is the center of our galaxy, but
is it the sun?
No, that's our That's our solar system.
Our system, yeah.
So I don't think that the Milky Way's black hole is big enough to have a disk. And this one isn't big enough to cause, like, it's far enough away that it's not big enough to cause
damage.
Anything weird.
Yeah.
But it is at least getting light radiation to us so we can take a picture.
It's scary.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, eventually the disk might turn and be aimed at us.
No.
There's so much about space that scares me.
Uh-huh.
It's like being underwater, but not.
Yeah, the opposite of that, actually.
and it's unexplored. It's the final frontier. And someone would coin that.
There are giant balls of, like, insane amounts of energy. And then there are giant balls of, I'm going to eat all that energy and then, like, be bigger than that energy.
I like to think that there are giant fish-like creatures that swim through the galaxy.
Are they fourth dimensional whales that come into our dimension to fill their lungs with vacuum?
Easy there, Sailor Moon.
What?
It's a Futurama reference.
Oh.
And now also for science nerds like Calvin, this is from National Geographic. While most of us learned about three states of matter in elementary school, Lindsay, what are they?
Solid, liquid, and gas.
There's a fourth one.
Well, maybe that's what this story is for all I know. It's not. Physicists have discovered... Are you talking about that ass?
I'm talking about plasma.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Physicists have discovered several exotic varieties that can exist under extreme temperature and pressure conditions. Now, a team has used a type of artificial intelligence to confirm the existence of a bizarre new state of matter, one in which potassium atoms exhibit properties of both a solid and a liquid at the same time.
It's kinda like a squishy banana.
It's like the traps we talked about earlier. It's both. At the same time, if you were somehow able
to pull
out...
It's like Steins Gate, where the bananas get gross and gooey.
All right. No, it's not. It's not like gel bananas? Anything anime. Yes. If you were to pull a chunk out of such material, it would look like a solid block leaking molten potassium that eventually all dissolved away. It would be like holding a sponge filled with water that starts dripping out, except the sponge is also made of water, says the study co-author.
So it's a jelly banana.
No, it's a water banana that shoots water bananas.
But it's potassium.
The unusual state of potassium could exist under conditions found in Earth's mantle, but the element is generally not found in a pure form and is usually bound up with other materials. Similar simulations could help study the behaviors of other minerals in such extreme environments. Now, Calvin, make it make sense, and why should I care?
Okay, well, there's several different ways that matter isn't what you think it is.
What is mind? Does it matter?
It don't matter.
What is matter? Never mind.
Specifically the states of matter.
Oh.
So it's all just the same state of matter at different pressure and or density.
Okay.
So air, like water vapor, right? Condenses down into water.
Right.
Which condenses down into ice. Right? And then this presumably
turns into bananas, apparently.
Yes. Presumably, if you were going to go in the opposite direction and you had the water vapor and you added enough energy to it, it would become plasma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to my understanding, is kind of a state between gas and liquid with a whole lot of energy in it. And this is kind of a state between liquid and solid, presumably with more energy because you said it was molten.
Molten, yes.
Which tells me it either is under an intense amount of pressure or has an intense amount of energy in it,
yeah.
If not both.
It exists under extreme temperature and pressure conditions.
Yeah. So it kind of sounds like the in-between of solid and liquid, like plasma is kind of the in-between of liquid and gas.
My favorite part about it is that it tells me that there are still lots of things on this planet that we don't understand that we are trying to figure out. Well, I say that because so often I get discouraged because it really does feel like everyone's just got it all figured out. Like nobody believes anything anymore. They don't want to try for things that sound crazy because you can't prove it now. But our limited understanding of what life is should be a deterrent against people saying things like, oh, that's impossible. Nothing's impossible.
Just because
the laws are like go against it doesn't mean the laws won't change or that we'll find some new way to look at it.
Because that's what science is.
Yes.
Yeah. But
that's what it used to be.
When I was a kid, like in high school, wireless charging of devices was seen as something that would never happen because that's crazy.
Yeah.
And now we have, like, you can be in the same room as a little antenna and it charges all the devices in that room.
Right. When I was
That's crazy.
When I was a kid in high school and they told me about talking picture boxes where you could watch other people inside of them talk back.
The like, television?
It's yeah. That's what that's what they called it eventually.
Okay.
Yeah. The old Radiation King. That's what I used to watch.
That's a reference.
We got to get our Matt Groening references in. Every it's not is it really a science fiction show if you don't have a Matt Groening reference? This nothing science fiction about this. I just put this in there because I think it's cool, and I also want to make Lindsay terrified of things. So this one's called. I feel like every story I do, I give it a little name because it, to me, it's almost like an anthology. Like every episode's an anthology.
So which ones are reoccurring segments?
None of them. I just made that up.
Oh, okay. So this isn't going to be a reoccurring thing?
Oh, it is now.
Okay.
Yeah, if I can find good stories like that. This one's called I'll Be Back When This Story Is Over. In a medical case that doctors have called a world's first, a Taiwanese woman was found to have 4 live sweat bees living in her eye, feeding on her tears.
Ew!
Oh, I think
that's the reaction I wanted.
Did you tell me this already?
Feeding on tears?
How small are they? Are they like behind her eyeball?
No, they were like under like the lid, just kind of living in
How?
There and under. Well, I'm getting there.
How?
Calm down. The patient referred to only as Mrs. He. I'll probably mispronounce that. It's H-E. I don't care if it's from Taiwan. It's just he, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Maybe.
Hey. The chicken? She was reportedly tidying up a relative's grave at the cemetery by pulling out weeds when a gust of wind blew what she thought was sand and dirt into her eye. She cleaned her eyes with water, but a few hours later, she started feeling a sharp pain in her left eye and started constantly tearing up. I already read that. The 20-something woman was taken to Fuyin University Hospital in Taiwan's southern country of Pingtung, where ophthalmologists were shocked to find 4 live sweat bees feeding on her eye like it was a salt lick.
I mean, I would expect that they would eventually die. How much nutrients are in?
They did not die. They were removed safely.
Well, but like eventually, I mean.
Oh, I mean, apparently they feed on salt. And if
that seems weird.
You keep crying, they're going to keep living, I guess. Sweat bees nest near graves and in fallen trees and apparently treat humans as salt licks, although a case of them actually living in someone's eye and feeding on their salty tears is unprecedented. Now, the good news is that after having the bees removed and being treated for her symptoms, Miss He was discharged and is expected to make a full recovery.
Well, that's good.
That is good, but just imagine having a pain in your eye.
I don't want to.
And then you got, and there's video of it. That's the video I was going to show you before the show, but I didn't
want
to ruin it.
Please, I don't want
to. 4 little
sweat
bees
no.
in the eyeball
Mm-mm.
with giant tongues licking.
No. Oh my God.
Licking. That part I made up.
That part I made up.
All right, here's something more fun. You want something fun?
Yes.
Get your mind off the bees. All right. No, this
Though
is
sometimes your definition of fun doesn't fit that category.
File this one under they've seen a thing or two, because like insurance, that'll make sense in a second. According to the Miami Herald, the St. Lawrence Insurance Company has sold 6,000 alien abduction policies, offering $10 million worth of coverage for the low one-time price of $20. That includes a digital copy of the policy, and if you're afraid those pesky aliens will destroy your computer or cloud your cloud storage, $24.95 gets you a printed policy. Now,
How does one cash in that policy?
I'm glad you asked. She asked the hard questions. What does that get you? Medical coverage with outpatient psychiatric care, and if you become married, impregnated, or eaten by the aliens, the coverage is doubled to $20 million. Assuming
if you become married by the aliens.
If you get married to the alien, you get $20 million. Owner Mike St. Lawrence points out that his company has been selling these policies since 1987 and made good on 2 claims.
Wow.
I shit you not. In one, the man brought an alleged statement from someone at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology stating that he had a chip implanted in him of non-earthly origin. In the other, this policyholder brought a black Polaroid photo that he claimed was from inside the spaceship. St. Lawrence said he paid on both claims. The fine print on the alien abduction policy states that in order to qualify for a payout, you have to come back with the signature of an authorized onboard alien. The alien has to sign off on it.
For you to get the money.
And in even finer print, it states that the payments to you or your beneficiaries are $1 per year for 10 billion years.
Wow.
And if you think that's funny, I looked it up. The Grip Insurance Policy Air Company in London also sells similar alien abduction policies and convinced 37,000 people to cough up over $5 million.
Sheesh.
So there are people out there that have paid $5 million for alien abduction insurance. Calvin.
Why are people
dumb? My brain hurts.
I know, I can tell. The look of pain on your face.
My brain is still stuck on the $1
per year for a million years. I'm sorry. For 10 million years.
Whatever. Doesn't...
It when you read that, I'm only guessing that they didn't see that part. Because even as a novelty thing of like, oh, I've got alien insurance. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really thought that you would get, I don't know, if you could convince the guy to pay out, it's a dollar a year for 10 million years. Isn't this legal? Like, I guess it is if that's the policy. I mean, I guess there's nothing saying.
If it's written out and you signed it. Yeah.
And if he pays $1 per year. So, maybe we should invest.
It would take you 20 years to get your investment back.
Well, that's if I get abducted. And the alien signs off on it.
So, we call people that come from a different country aliens.
So if I marry a foreigner, I can take this to him and be like, look, this is my wife.
I married an alien.
I mean.
Or get pregnant.
If I get pregnant, then I'm definitely impregnated by an alien. That is 100% for sure. All right. Main topic tonight. We talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago or two shows ago, maybe, about paranormal TV. Actually, maybe a couple more than that. And we just kind of talked about a general broad sense of the different shows that are on. Well, I saw an ad for a show on the Travel Channel that I had to talk about. I have to talk about. I couldn't believe this was a thing. And then from there, I was inspired to look up, you know, this show has a lot of shows about ghosts. Or this channel has a lot of shows about ghosts. How many shows does it have?
Too many,
and
apparently.
And I am literally, I'm going to hold up the paper. These are all shows that are on the Travel Channel right now based around
what?
The paranormal.
Okay, now are any of those spinoffs of current ones? Or old ones?
No, I left off any of, I tried to leave off anything that was like a single episode thing or a spinoff. Like I didn't put Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures Live. I didn't put Ghost Adventures Aftershock, stuff like that.
Okay.
The show that I'm talking about originally, though, it's a new show called Ghost Bait.
Yep.
Which when I first heard that title, I thought, okay, now you're just getting stupid with it. Like I love paranormal shows. I watch Ghost Adventures weekly. I watch Ghost Hunters weekly. I love those shows. I think there is enough in those shows that are both entertaining and that you can go, oh, that's some pretty cool evidence. You have to take a leap of faith to believe that it really exists. But if you do, and not only that, but just it's just an interesting show.
So Ghost Bait.
Ghost Bait. And this is from Travel Channel's site. This is what they put on there. Paranormal pioneer Bob McGill and empathic. That would be different. That would be if they had a soul. Empathic investigator Tina Storr helped victims of the most severe hauntings in America reclaim their sense of peace and control. After conducting their own paranormal investigation, Bob and Tina used sensory deprivation and immersion therapy to elevate a client's fear level to draw out the entity and force a supernatural reckoning.
Okay.
No, hold on. Let me finish. Hold on the line. By confronting their worst fears head on, Bob and Tina believe the living can overpower the negative forces around them. Allie, go.
Okay. So I saw the commercial for this as well.
You did?
Their sensory deprivation is putting a burlap sack on their head.
What?
And putting them in a chair in a dark room.
So they're abducting them, basically.
You still have
them,
at least
basically.
Two senses.
Seriously? Like this? Yeah. That's not sensory. Oh.
This is a whole new level of exploitation. Mm-hmm. This is a whole new level of like, if these people that come on this show legitimately believe these people can help them, like, I'm sorry, man. I love the paranormal. But there's only so much
this
I can take.
Also, like, seems like you are going to leave it with PTSD. Like, you're not...
The girl, the person or the ghost?
The person.
Because the ghost might be shocked, too. He can't believe that you invited these dumbass people to your house.
The ghost is shook.
So, at what point does it become... The person thinks that they had a ghost experience because you've like injected that much cortisol into their system.
Well, that's what I
just
was thinking.
From terrifying them.
Right. Yeah. Like, all right. So if you were to put me under a burlap sack and chain me to a chair and
they
say,
literally make this it is as grungy looking
right.
as possible.
It looks like a scene out of Saw or Hostel.
Yeah.
If you were to do that to me and say you're going to confront the ghost that you think is haunting you, I'd laugh. I would laugh and I would laugh some more and I would go, are you kidding? Get these damn things off me. But that's just me. There are lots of people out there that if you do that to them, they will freak out. They will mm-hmm. scream. They will cry. They will be affected.
Dalton?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about like not just sissies, but like like real men. That was a bad term. I shouldn't have used that. But no, like normal, there are a lot of normal people that you would put under these situations,
yeah.
and the stress would, like you said, it would give them PTSD. And like Calvin said, they would create this in their own head of mm-hmm. I'm facing something because they're so scared.
Uh-huh.
You're just like you're torturing
Especially
people. This is just torture.
So if they are actually finding people that have dealt with hauntings,
right?
Whether it was a real haunting or not, they're going to go into this fully believing that they're going to face what they think
yeah,
was
already scared.
Right.
Torturing them before. That's awful.
Yeah.
And then, so it's either it's real or they're scripting it and they're just putting people in there to scare them, which is like half of the YouTube channels out there now. So
what I hate is that the paranormal community, and I blame not just Travel Channel, Destination America, all of these channels that put on all of these different ghost shows because it's an entertaining topic and it makes money. But the paranormal community and the evidence for the ghosts and the paranormal is already so light that you can't convince me that we've never proven that ghosts exist. Okay, that was kind of creepy.
A little bit.
I said we never proved ghosts exist, and then there was very much a knock that did
yeah.
not sound like it was upstairs.
It sounded like it was almost
next to us.
Not, yeah. not quite the door, but
yeah.
All right, I'm gonna say it again. There's no evidence that, that ghosts exist. That there's nothing paranormal that you can prove. But you're going to try to convince me that not only are you going to prove it in this show on the Travel Channel, that you're going to confront the ghosts. That you don't even have to prove the ghosts exist. Now we're boxing with the ghosts mentally. This is the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard. This tops Mountain Monsters for me as the
yeah.
dumbest thing that
yeah.
I've ever seen from the paranormal. And
yeah.
it's called ghost bait. And Travel Channel should yeah. be ashamed of themselves. So I got a list of other shows that Travel Channel also puts on. I'm going to read every single show that's on this list that you can find on Travel Channel right now, just to give you an idea of how much they're exploiting people when it comes to the paranormal community. And some of these I watch and I feel bad. I'm part of the problem, but not all of them. Allie, you're going to like a couple of these because there were some surprising names on this list.
Oh, God.
We got A Haunting. That's
okay.
classic.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen
A
Haunting.
That was actually on
History Channel, wasn't it?
No, it was on the Discovery Channel because I watched it a lot.
Yeah, some of these shows have moved over from other channels. Like, there's a couple on here that were on Destination America and Sci-Fi Channel and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Alaska Haunting, in case you wanted your haunting to be more specific to a region.
Yeah.
Bigfoot in America.
No one cares about Bigfoot except Tanner.
Allie, this is the one that surprised me. Chris Jericho, Hunting Monsters.
What?
Where Chris Jericho travels the United States.
Is it actually Chris Jericho?
It's Chris Jericho. He's done two specials for it so far.
Oh.
Because there's another one later. Deadly Possessions. Expedition Unknown, which I actually like that show quite a bit, like Josh Gates. Fear the Woods, which I already do. And then you get into the four different ghost shows. Ghost Adventures, which I'm a big fan of. Ghost Asylum.
That's
sure. Ghost Bait, which we talked about. Ghost Stories. Haunted Case Files, Haunted Hospitals, Haunted Live, Haunted Things, Haunted USA,
Haunted
Things.
That's the name of your show, Haunted Things.
We just put an object in front of the camera.
Yeah, and just watch it for an hour.
Well, but no, the pitch. I got the show. Right? It's called Haunted Things. That's... Are you drunk?
It's about things, and they're haunted.
And they're haunted, yeah.
So, all right, to stop for a second. There was a show I actually liked on the Sci-Fi Channel called Haunted Collector about cursed objects. Because that's a thing. Cursed
right.
objects are a thing.
No, but
yeah.
the name.
Haunted Things.
Things.
I guess Haunted Objects was taken, or maybe it was too smart.
Too many syllables? I don't know.
They had to dumb it down for the populace.
The Hunt for Extraterrestrials. Hunt for the Yeti. In Search of Monsters, Kindred Spirits, which is another show I actually like quite a bit. Loch Ness Monster, The Search for the Truth. The truth is he ain't there. Monsterlands, Werewolf Encounters. That sounds like a bad Roger Corman film. Monsters and Mysteries in America, Most Haunted, Paranormal 911.
I remember you watching that one.
Once or twice. Paranormal Caught on Camera. Usually we watch that every week now. Into it. Paranormal Survivor, Portals to Hell, Scariest Night of My Life, Strange Evidence, The Dead Files, another show I like quite a bit. The Legend of with Chris Jericho.
The Legend of. What does Chris Jericho not do?
I guess when you get when you're that rich and famous, you get. And I think it literally the explanation for the show was the description was like Chris Jericho is bored. And he's just
he's between cruises and rock wrestling shows and yeah. Wrestling and
The Unexplained Files. Here's another one that I like. You know, in similar to haunted things, These Woods Are Haunted.
Oh, jeez.
That's a statement. That's that's not a show name. UFOs: The Lost Evidence. UFOs: Uncovering the Truth. And of course, that old classic, When Ghosts Attack.
Ghosts Attack.
Come on, Travel Channel. What are you doing, man?
You angry, apparently.
Did they travel to every place in the world and now they really need topics to talk about? So they're dipping their toe. Like, it's so... You'd think I'd be happy. It's like when they created the WWE Network. Wrestling, I can watch all day and night? Sweet. There's at least 2-3 different paranormal shows per day on the Travel Channel. And I don't watch
any
of them.
Only 2 or 3?
It's ridiculous. So I don't know what the Travel Channel's doing over there, but they need to get their shit together.
They don't what the rest of the world
Stop
is
doing. Taking pitches in bars at like 3 in the morning when everyone's drunk.
Cut this down to maybe 10 shows and just air them sporadically.
10 even seems gratuitous.
Yeah, how many shows did I list there? What was that?
A
probably?
Lot. Mm-hmm.
Probably like 30 shows on the Travel Channel related to the paranormal. And I love the paranormal, but there's such a thing as oversaturation. And if you have 5 shows dedicated to like looking for Bigfoot and none of them have found Bigfoot yet, maybe you've got too many shows dedicated to Bigfoot is all I'm saying.
Seriously.
No. That one show keeps catching him and letting him go.
No, another one helps let it go.
Yeah. The other Yeti shows up and helps. Well, that could have been.
But they also can't ever catch it on camera.
Well, that might not have been a Yeti or a Sasquatch, though. That could have been like the, I don't remember the names of the different
like
ones.
Like a Yowler.
Oh, they have specific Yowler. Ones. They have no, Yowler's from World of Warcraft.
That's what I'm thinking.
What's wrong with you? Do you watch any of the Travel Channel shows?
Well, I don't have TV.
Oh, but you are aware of them?
Yes, I am very much aware of them.
You're aware of some of the ones on this list? Because there's someone here I've never even heard of, like Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I didn't know. But those are really all those
current,
were
specials. Or is this just what they have run?
Most of these are current, but some of them are specials. But the specials were ones that I thought were so ridiculous, I had to put them on the list.
Like Chris Jericho?
Honey Monsters with Chris Jericho. Most of these are
Did
the exact same show,
to
too.
To the monsters?
That would be hilarious.
Weezy what?
Did he just sing to the
that.
Monsters?
Or he wrestles them?
Or he tries to wrestle them?
I'm pretty sure, like, Ghost Adventures, Most Haunted, Haunted Live, Ghost Asylum. I'm pretty sure Ghost Brothers is on Travel Channel, too. I may be wrong about that.
So...
That's right. There's a show called Ghost Brothers.
No, I know.
It's Ghost Adventures, but they're all black.
Yeah. So the next Chris Jericho...
Jesus.
The next... Chris Jericho special should just be Chris Jericho calls monsters stupid idiots.
I feel like the next Chris Jericho special is going to be Chris Jericho like telethon.
I wonder if that's ghost hunting technique to go into a haunting place and just piss off the ghost as much as possible.
Bagans does it every week on Ghost Adventures.
The two that were on BuzzFeed Blue.
Oh, yeah. Whatever it was. The Believer and the Asshole.
Yeah. The other one, it turned into a meme because he was the guy that just walked into a haunted place and was like, hey, demons, it's your boy.
But Zach Bagans, that's something he does.
Provoke.
They instigate the spirit, especially if it's a violent spirit. And like it's so hard to convince my friends that I'm straight and normal. And when I say straight, I don't mean in a sexual way, just mentally. Like, okay. I walk the straight path of, like, I'm not insane.
Do you, though?
I don't know anymore. Reading the names of these shows, it's getting harder and harder to explain my interest in the paranormal when you got shows like Haunted Things out there.
So, the meme that's going around that was, like, felt cute, there's one that's a picture of Zach Bagans that says, feeling cute might lock Aaron in a haunted basement later. I don't know.
Poor Aaron.
And then we got another ghost show coming to Travel Channel. because the original Ghost Hunter, three of the original Ghost Hunters. Well, actually, I don't think they're original. It's Grant. No, not Grant.
What's Grant was one of the original.
Grant
ones.
Was, but he's the one that's gone now. What was the other one? Jason. It's Jason, Steve Gonzalez, and I think Dave Tango. Are,
I remember Tango.
They're doing a new show on Travel Channel where they build it up like it's this different thing. It's like they're using all the newest technology to hunt the most haunted places in the world. That's like eight of the shows I just described, including two probably with Chris Jericho. I don't get it. Are we not sick of this yet?
People keep watching it.
People love Squalor.
I can only take so much. And because this is coming from someone that loves to talk about the paranormal.
A handful of them, for certain ones, are watching it in the way that you watched Mountain Monsters.
To make fun of it.
Okay, but see, my problem with that, though, is that every single one of these, with the exception of Ghostbait, which is basically AIDS for the paranormal community. It's paranormal AIDS, is what I'm going to call it. All the rest of them have, except maybe Ghost Adventures, because Zach is a dick. Mm-hmm. But they're treated very seriously. They're presented as either reenactments or almost like documentary style narration, stuff like that. Whereas Mountain Monsters is a joke of a television show. It's clearly scripted. Like, there's no way you can make the argument that Ghost Adventures is real because, yes, they go and they find evidence. Mountain Monsters, as Lindsay stated earlier, some of the Bigfoots free other Bigfoots, mm-hmm. while the quote unquote scientists are running around with shotguns,
shooting into the air. Well, they hear a noise, they just start shooting. It's amazing there hasn't been a headline that says, I don't know any
Mountain
of their names.
Huckleberry.
Huckleberry dead from shooting an episode of Mountain Monsters.
When one of your top scientists is named Huckleberry,
yeah,
it's time to call it in, I think. So, I am curious. We're out of time pretty much, and that's a shame because I would love to rant about this more. But I know we have a lot of listeners who, for whatever reason, on this show, they seem to interact with us more than any other show.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's cool. So I want to know what shows you guys watch. Do you watch any of the 30-plus shows I just listed?
We promise we won't make fun of you.
I promise nothing.
I won't make fun of you. I watched A Haunting a lot whenever I was younger.
I did too. Like it was portrayed very seriously. And A Haunting came out back when there weren't a lot of shows like that.
No, I think it was like the only one.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was one of the first ones. And the one, Lindsay, you were talking about was not on that list. I know which one you're talking about. It was actually on... What is the pet channel called? Animal Planet. Yeah. Was that the one
you'd always fall asleep to?
Yeah, it was a show on Animal Planet that was about ghosts and about how animals respond to it. And it was also a haunting, but with goats. Yeah,
goats.
Not with ghosts, but with goats. And I would fall asleep during it because it was, you know, boring, but it was interesting. But now,
except that you'd yell at me about turning the TV off.
Well, yeah, because I wasn't asleep yet.
But you were.
Clearly, I wasn't. Yeah. If I woke up and told her to turn the TV back on,
because noise stopped and you slightly woke up, but right. You probably couldn't tell her what happened in the past 5 minutes.
Dog barked. 90% of the episodes, right there.
Okay.
But back to my original point, what shows do you watch? Do you buy into this? If you are a believer in the paranormal, like I assume you must be if you're listening to this show, which one of these are good? Which ones are bad? And what do you think of Ghostbait? A show where it's basically, it should be called Eli Roth's Ghostbait. Would be a better title for it. Where they will chain you up and have you face your biggest fear. And they'll catch it on camera. I mean, they don't really catch it on camera. They might hear a noise.
They'll catch you like...
They'll catch you in the chair with the burlap sack on your head.
They'll catch you peeing your pants.
I'll tell that ghost to catch me outside. How about that? All right. Well, I think we've done the Lord's work here tonight on I Want to Believe on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Want to thank you guys for tuning in. And just as a reminder, I honestly don't know if we're going to be doing any shows next week. Because next week is a huge Comic-Con. Week. For all of us.
Mm-hmm. I'm already in crunch time on creating stuff. So. Yeah.
We are all on crunch time. So this week might be our last shows other than Sunday. I'm sure they'll do Nerd Up on Sunday. But if you're looking for shows next week, there's a good chance we might not be doing any. Maybe pro wrestling. Definitely not Thursday because that is the day before Cape Comic Con in which we will be there. Mm-hmm. We actually have, and I'm proud to announce, that we have our first live podcast will be at 6 p.m. on Friday night.
Yeah. It's not going to...
Do they have a way to air it live, or are we still just recording live in front of people and then posting?
We're recording. Well, you know, I was thinking about that because there's a part of me that wondered if maybe we shouldn't even record it. Maybe we should just do a live one there for the crowd. But if we get some of the guests that we want on, then we definitely want to preserve that for the humanity. But
I feel like
we'll record it live and post it that night, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the only way to catch it live is to actually come to Cape Comic Con.
Because we have a lot of like super fans that will not be able to be there, and I'm sure they
Zane
would, like,
Laney, Ciro Villegas, yes, Derek, yes, Boxdorfer.
Derek.
Probably.
I mean, he has a kid now, so yeah, there's a good chance he won't be able to make it.
But some of your favorite personalities are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got some special guests, some surprises. That is Friday next week, 6 p.m. at Cape Comic Con. Then Saturday at 10 a.m., Podzilla 1985 is hosting a special co-panel with Kevin Huntsberger from My 1-2-3 Cents, friend of the show from Stride Pro Wrestling. Me and Kevin, and I believe Jesse will be, and maybe if Kevin's bringing a guest, I'm not sure, we'll be talking about how to get into podcasting, you know, some of the stuff we faced when we started. If you've ever been interested in how to do what we do and you think, well, I've got a shot of that, come listen to our horror stories first. Then decide if you want to do it after that. And then, of course, Saturday, it's Lindsay has a panel at, what, 1 or 1:30?
1:30. I have a Pokemon panel on Pokemon conspiracy theories.
What we did on the show, she's taking it live with Yuri somebody, who's also hosting a Godzilla panel.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. So, yeah. A lot of stuff going on that weekend. And then Sunday, we have the CCW panel. And Saturday night, CCW Super Show 3. It's going to be a crazy weekend. So, if you don't hear from us next week, we do apologize. We'll be back the week after. That's going to do it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, for Calvin, Allie, Lindsay, and myself, we'll see you tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Go watch Ghost Bait.
Or don't.
Or don't. And as always, keep watching those skis. What is it? Oh, skies. Sorry. Good night.